Heyo, today we're talking a little bit about how my brain works, and I don't know why. Do you need to know that? Do we need to have that conversation for you to understand that, like, she's just wired a bit differently? I think you're probably aware, right? We know. But I finally got my office clean, and for my brain to work properly, everything has to be sort of in a system of consistency. So I know how and where and why and when to show up. And when it's not, when everything is not in its perfect place, it bothers me. And when I have the ticker of bothersome in the back of my brain, of like, nope, that thing is, that's not organized the way that it should be. And I can't think straight. Like, why is that book there? It should be over there. Why is it facing that way? It's not supposed to face that way. Like, but then when there's nothing that I can do about it, then I'll just kind of store it. And if it doesn't contribute to the overall, like, encompassing into the system, and it's not that bad, it's definitely something that has to fall to the back. Like, there's nothing I can do today. I don't have space or time. And usually that'll be in, like, the cleanliness of the space that I'm working in, because I will get into these overwork, overwhelm systems quite often. And I think it's a creative thing, because we create in spurts, kind of like that. But in order for my creativity to come out, I have to be able to table all of these sort of back brain things. Because I need to be able to get into the flow state, and those are constant interrupters. Like, okay, I'm going to sit down and write my book today. What? Oh yeah, I forgot. The one spine of the second book in the third shelf of the clear container in my office is facing the wrong way. What the hell? Should we go fix it right now? Yeah. Oh, we better go fix it right now. If we got that fixed, then we could work, and then I'll go, okay, there, that's fixed. And then I'll notice 12 other things, and then I'll be like, oh no, we don't have time to fix all those things. We're supposed to be getting in the flow state, and we're supposed to start working on the book. What are we doing? Oh no, now we're cleaning the whole office. Oh no, now we're here for 7 hours. What have we even done with our day? Well, I guess we cleaned the office, but did we? Because it looks kind of more like a mess than not a mess. Well, now that we're already up this tree, we might as well continue barking up it. Let's clean the whole dang thing. And then we could have this whole thing in system, and then it's completely off of our plate. Okay, we're just breaking that down today. Let's go. Hey, you're on this journey, on this season 5 vibe, and everything season 5, as I'm forecasting what it will look like, is all about settling into the being, the knowing, transitioning from believing to knowing, and fine-tune correcting what that looks like, and just living. And we started out this show, you know, really thinking that this was going to happen overnight. And one of my greatest accomplishments of all of this will be just continuing on and showing an example, a real life example of what it looks like to turn your life around. And so if you're just happening upon this show in season 5, you should know there are 4 other seasons that have followed me on this journey. This journey of turning my life around, this journey of finally getting to this place where I wasn't angry and spiteful and hateful and ego-driven. It really follows all of that. So you can go back to the start. What I will caution you is that it is unedited and pure and raw, and I was still very much in that ego hate phase of my life, and it's all lived out loud. And this whole journey has been lived out loud in truth. So you will hear me venturing into businesses that, if you follow the link that I am promising you will be there, you will end up lost, You are not going to get there. Just know that. But it's all about that journey. It was real. It was real right then. That business I was developing, that program, that course, that whatever, it was real, and this is all real. This is me living my life out loud so we can all do our dreams. Heyo, welcome to the Death of a Dream podcast where we do dreams and that's what we talk about. I think I'll make this a snappy new day. It's such a good feeling, the feeling you know that I'll be back when the day is new and I'll have new ideas for you and you'll have things you want to talk about. I will too. Good day, neighbor. Hello, neighbor. Sorry, just Mr. Rogers came over me. Fred, get out of here. I got a show to do. We cannot be just singing tunes about life right now. I did not bring my puppets. No, Fred, I didn't bring my puppets, okay? I can't even sing. Don't make me do that, but I do. I am gonna learn piano. I am. I know I keep saying that. I am. That's what I'm gonna do. So let's go ahead and ground ourselves in our greatness. This very practice of being amazing and telling ourselves that story enough that we start to believe it and that we can tell it back to other people. And I struggled with this for a little while because, like, it's an interesting thing. And I taught this concept first at a Catholic high school, and I remember presenting it to some of the administration there, and they were a little hesitant because we're supposed to be humble and da da da, you know. I think that's it's a faith-based thing. And this, to me, humility or humbleness, are they the same things? No. Humbly, whatever. To me, being humble is knowing the truth of your existence and being able to speak to that confidently. So I am going to tell you great things that I accomplished in my day. I am also going to tell you that tomorrow, the greatest thing that I do might be eating a Pringle. Like, you know, all in bigger view of what this looks like. And I guess you know, it's got to be done because we've been humble, you know, and this sort of fake humble thing where we're like, no, I'm not amazing. I'm really not. I'm like, you can tell, right? When people are like, no, but really I'm the greatest thing ever that's ever walked this planet. I think greatness is actually a really powerful part of being humble, because when you can own your greatness, and I'm tracking this real time, so don't mind me. When you can accurately own your greatness, you are able to walk in the truth of who you are. And humble, being humble, means you understand the full truth of your own potential and downfalls. Like, to me, humble isn't just about admitting that we don't know it all. I think it's also about standing in our own truth and owning that. So it's complicated. It's complicated. The truth is, there's probably a million different ways to look at both of these things, to look at humility, to look at being humble, to look at being great. And you could land on 1,000 different sides of that coin. This is where I land today. That means nothing because tomorrow I could land in a completely different place. Because as humans, the main goal is the evolution of our own minds and experiences. And so your mind is going to change. There are concepts that are too... they're just too big, too complicated for us to land on any given side consistently. Some things are just too complicated, you know? And some things we don't actually have to decide on. But I decide that greatness grounding needs to be a bigger part of how we talk about ourselves. We've played the humble card, draped in ego for too long. Oh, and I know because I went on interviews like this. I lead too much, you know? I lead too often. That's such a terrible example. Do not mind me, okay? I think it's partially because Fred Rogers is in my brain right now. Like, Fred, I gotta do this show. You gotta take a break. We can't... This is not your show. Just give me... I gotta think. Give me a second, okay? Just 1 second. I know. I'll work on the piano when I get one. I'll get one. I will. Okay. Fred, thank you. So, I think we just got to be great. It's got to become a part of who we are. And it definitely has to become a part of how we talk about ourselves, period. There really is no... the room for being humble is just in how you walk. Not necessarily how you talk. Like, go ahead and be the example of humble and speak humbly when possible. But, like, people are waiting for your greatness. And people need that as well. In some situations, they need it. In others, they don't. But you need to be prepared in case they would. Sometimes people have to buy into your greatness as well as your humbleness. And they both have to exist to be successful. And we overwork, I would say, especially in the Midwest, especially in Iowa, on the humble card. No, not me. It was the whole... and it probably was. But someone was driving the whole team, and who was that? And someone was telling the teams what to do, and someone brought the teams together. Who was that? Who's behind that? Is it you? Okay, then we need to be able to own that as well. And yes, they did all of the work. Yeah, totally. And you were great too. And you were an integral part as well. And so let's start creating that narrative. So my great thing from yesterday was last Saturday, I started cleaning up my shelves because I wouldn't say that I have OCD. But my eye will go directly to what's out of place every single time, and it will bother me. And it will, like, take up space in the back of my brain. And I won't be able to do anything about it because I'm busy or because I got to... and because, mostly because of this. I won't be able to do anything about it because if I was going to fix that one thing, then I'd have to fix the 12 things to make it all look nice. I can't just make the one thing look nice. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it all the way. And it's all got to look like that. And so surprisingly, last Saturday, I was like, I could clean this shelf. And that must have seemed specific enough that it wasn't like, okay, but I got to overhaul and fix this whole entire space. And do not kid yourself. I got the office, like the floor level clean, but there is mayhem reeking above my head in the overhead storage spaces, and there's definitely mayhem behind in my storage hallway, and it's taking up space in my brain. It is. But for today, we got to get the floor level clean, and I'm feeling great about that. Wow, go us. We did it. And it feels amazing. But when I cleaned out the cabinet, I knew it had been bothering me. There was one clear container that was filled with multiple brands products. I'm like, they don't go there. I don't even know what that is. Why would we have multiple? Why? They can't be together. And they can. Like, they can. They obviously existed that way for a very long time. There is no reason that they couldn't be. It should not bother me at all. But I was like, they can't. Why are they mixing like that? They shouldn't be. It should be better organized. Why is that book backwards when all the spines should be facing out? Why? And then people would interject and go, well, I mean, it doesn't look all that organized, so I think you're okay. I think you're overthinking it. And trust, when I don't have a way to organize something, if there had never been a system in place for how it was organized, it doesn't bother me at all. But if I know, like, the spines of books should always be facing out, or a gene OCD tendency that still stalks me down to this day is that the pockets should always be facing out. How do you know what genes are there if the pocket is not facing out? How, you madman, how can you fold a gene to be like knee out? That doesn't even make any sense. How do you know what gene is there? You have to have the pocket out. And that comes from many, many years of intense retail training at the Buckle, which, if you don't know what that is, that's like one of the premier, definitely in the early 2000s, like the best place that you could buy jeans. Okay, listen, all y'all who buy jeans off the internet today, trying on jeans and finding the perfect pair is only possible at a Buckle. Like, we can't buy jeans like that. It's just madness. Why would we even accept such madness? Either way, they have great jeans and they have extra long inseams, and so it became my home and also a place where I learned a lot about the importance of consistency and how tank top walls were folded and how and why jeans were folded in 7 different ways depending on where they fit in the store, and how and why we categorized jeans in the store in the way that we did, and we thought through how people were going to interpret the entire journey through our store. And yeah, it was really great, but I definitely figured out some very consistent ways of organizing a retail space. And so while not all of the things that I learned there can be copied and duplicated in the retail space that I own now, definitely some of the complicated OCD inspired tendencies exist where I am. And so this box had been bothering me, like, why are there 3 different products in there? That's not what that box is supposed to be. What's going on? We need to clean that out. But if we clean that out, then we need to clean the whole office, and then we need to sweep the floors, and then what are we doing with this, and why is this the way that it is, and we got to get this out of here, and we need all of this product out on the floor, and if we're going to get all the product out on the floor, it's got to be tagged, and if we're going to tag all of the product, then we have to sit down and load all of the product, and then we have to sit down and take photos of all the product, and then if we do all of that, we got to get that product out on the floor, and do we even have room for it out on the floor? I mean, we are just like busting at the seams. Can people come and buy some of this stuff so we can get some new product out there? I don't know, but I do know that y'all, It is wild. And it is the second that I notice that something is out of system or off, just know that it is taking up space in my brain. And I will wake up at 2 a.m. and I'll be like, why does that one clear container have three brands in it? And then I'll think about that for a little while. And then it's like, nope, nothing we can do about it. You got to leave it. Okay, I'll leave it. But then it'll spin up 10 other things. Yeah, but I mean, okay, so three things are out of place in that one shelf, but your whole office is a wreck. And then I'll think about that. Okay, when would I clean my office? And if I cleaned my office, like really, we're talking about the overhaul organization of what this space should look like. And do I even have that in place? Like, can I even do anything about any of this? Oh my gosh, it's a big, heavy lift. And surprisingly, Saturday, I could just clean that shelf and then I kind of wait for inspiration to strike, but I know that it's coming because it's like, okay, we did a couple of things and my sister, saint that she is, loves tagging product. Like, what? Why did I get so lucky to have a sister such as you? So she came in during a class that I was running. She tagged all the products. So now the product can go out on the floor. So now I don't have to sit there and have it take up space in the back. And I can figure out what to do with the extra amount of product that we have. I don't know. It's just kind of this beautiful, amazing thing. And so yesterday I was like, okay, you know, we're kind of getting organized. We got the shelves, we got the product out, we're feeling pretty good about that. All right, let's clean this whole space. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's clean the whole space. And then I did. And wow, it felt really amazing. And I cannot wait to go in today and just be in this clean, beautiful space. And yeah, so that's my great thing. We're going to dive into a little bit of the way that my brain thinks. Not that any of you need to know any of this, but maybe it gives you a little freedom to be like, okay, I'm not the only one. Or hopefully it does. Or you just go, okay, there is something wrong with this woman, and I wonder if I should just message her and be like, I think counseling would be the better route. Maybe don't keep saying all these things out loud on this show. Too bad, y'all. I don't know. I know a lot of people get into running because it is cheaper than actual counseling. And I can attest, like, running is definitely a place where I get to work out my thoughts. Yoga is another place. And then here is another place. So I require a lot. And that would be a very big therapy bill that I know our salaries could not take on. And when I say salaries, I mean my husband's and the little bit of money that I bring home from what I'm doing. And mostly, I don't bring home much of anything. And I am still figuring out how to do this. And it's definitely one of the more challenging things that I have ever done in my life. And if anyone needs to book a speaker, I am available. But you may take that. You may be like, oh yeah, we should book her. She'd be great. We should have her come and speak at our thing because we want to help her. But after I talk through this, you may take that back. So that's okay. So my brain works best in systems. I was the kid that had a dress schedule when I was growing up, because then I didn't have to think about it. And I remember feeling relief, like, okay, I know what I'm going to wear. And then feeling like instant overwhelm when like, nope, you can't wear a skirt and t-shirt today because it's going to be too cold. Like, wait, what? No. I don't think you understand. Like, it's Sunday. That's what I wear on Sundays. It was the cutest. It was an orange skort and it had a silver zipper with a daisy toggle. And then I had a t-shirt that looked more like a polo. It was a mock neck, actually, shockingly. And it was striped and it had a bunch of different colors in it, but it was like multicolor heathered orange, had orange stripes in it, so it matched the skirt. And then it too had this shiny silver zipper and it zipped down, the mock neck zipped down. And then there was a toggle, and I can't remember what it was, but it, like, two zippers, super cute. One of my favorite outfits. And so I'd wear that on Sundays. And, right, because then I could wear that to church, and then we'd sometimes go out to my grandparents' restaurant and eat. And so that was my Sunday outfit, and it was dressy, but I could also kind of run around because it was a skort. And, like, why aren't we still doing skorts? Bringing that back, right? We're going to do skorts again at some point, right? Yes? Okay. And so there I am living my best skort life, but I loved not having to think about that. And I love my wardrobe now. The concept of capsule wardrobing, so not having so many choices, was something that I didn't know that I needed, but yes, please. Yes. So having like a few staple pieces. So I have, you know, one jean, I have my two khakis. Okay, there you go. And then I have two jumpsuits, but like, that's it. And then I have a bunch of t-shirts and sweatshirts that I can mix and match with all of those things. And they all sort of have this similar color palette, which is very consistent through all of the clothes that I designed for myself. And boom, there you go. Capsule wardrobe check. And, you know, that's a system. I don't have to think about what I'm going to wear because I know it's either going to be these four things and these kind of like 10 t-shirts, and that's it. And on days that I have to think outside of that system, I overthink and underdeliver for too long for me to even care to think about. Like, you will know if Hannah had to go outside of her system to get dressed, because proof will be all over the bed. Like, I usually don't leave myself enough time, or even if I did, I'm overthinking so much that I don't, I have like 5 minutes before I get out the door, because I end up just coming up to the end where I have to just make a decision, and I don't leave myself enough room to clean up from all of the indecision that I've made. And so I will like force myself to put something on because I cannot decide. And it's not like a daily thing. As long as I have a system for how to exist, I'm fine. I actually am good at making decisions. But if I'm like unsure how to show up, unsure if how I typically dress makes sense, then I'm going to spin for a while. For a while. And I've gotten better at fully owning who I am. And I have figured out that I just have to kind of design my own pieces that make sense for me. And then now I know kind of what my dress up-ish style looks like. And yeah, so I've sort of created a system for that. I still struggle when I'm outside of my daily system, but that's a good system. And you know, even in how I keep my office clean, like we're working that into a system. And it's so funny that I actually hate structure a lot. And at the same time, like I will fight structure but at the same time, I have to have structure or my brain goes spinning off into oblivion and I can't live. When I'm out of system, is what I call it, everything is a mess and I cannot think straight. And all of the things that are out of system are ticking in the back of my brain. Like, what? Oh, no. Nope. Yesterday was Wednesday and we didn't get the clothes done, which means we're going to be overwhelmed. It won't fit in the system to do the clothes on Sunday because we've got two loads of laundry now to do on Sunday, which means they might get backed up. And do I even have time on Sunday? What does that look like? Like, how am I going to function? How am I going to do that if we get off? Can I fit it on Thursday or Friday or somewhere so that there isn't that overwhelm on Sunday? But it's going to totally throw us off if we do it before then, because then we're not really going to have enough clothes to do on Sunday, but then all of the clothes collecting is going to be thrown off because we're going to have to do like a midweek before Wednesday if we don't do Sundays. And so I think it all just has to pile up until Sunday, and we're going to have to just work extra hard to fit two loads of laundry in Sunday instead of one, but it's actually going to be three because we're going to have to also do all of the linens. And right? And those are the things that keep my head up at night and during the day. And these are the balls that I am keeping up in my head. And it's like, just throw that one out. It doesn't really matter. And this is where meditation and the ability to breathe through and think through what we can do right now really helps. Right? Because I know that that is my sort of all the balls fall saying to myself, what can I do right now? What can I accomplish right now? And then sometimes when I'm overthinking things that don't even need to be on my list, that's what I'll say to myself. Is there anything that I can do about it? Yes, no, no, throw it out. Who cares? Nothing we can do to impact it. Nothing we can do to change it. And I'll have that conversation with myself too. Is it something that I want to change? Is it something that I care about so much that I will work to make an impact on it? Yes or no? No, we're throwing it out. Okay, then it obviously doesn't matter that much. So let's stop taking room up in our brain. Yes, then I'll go to work. How do I fix this? How can I make an impact? Is it something that I can go to work to help? Is it something that I even have a skill or background in that I could make an impact? Yes, okay. Then I know that I need to get to work. Yes, I care that much and I need to do something about it to make it better. If this is something that keeps coming up for me, that's a conversation that I'll have. If there's something that I cannot do anything about, it's something that I'm going to go ahead and just throw out. Bye. We're not thinking about that anymore. And it'll keep coming up for a while. And then as it continues to get shut down, like, nope, we're not thinking, we don't care about that. And then I'll start to look for things that are maybe triggering me to think about that. Like, what is it? And start paying attention to what those things are. Is it someone that I'm around that keeps bringing it up? Is it some conversation that I have? Is it social media that keeps bringing this up? Like, what is it that's bothering me? What is it that's kind of sending me into this thought process? And is it something that I can relieve myself from? Is it something that I care about? Is it something that that I can get rid of, because obviously it's bothering me. So then I'll throw that out, or I'll take up less time or space with those people, or I will just not try not to care anymore. And over time, consistently coming back with that question, like, is this something that I care about? Is there anything I can do about it? No, no, okay, throw it out. And then over time, my brain just gets more secure and sure that it's okay to just do that. And it's not something that you're great at right away, but I'll continue to say that. Like if I wake up at 2 a.m. and I'm like, oh, that cabinet is all out of sorts. At 2 a.m., Hannah, are you going down to the shop right now to go sort it out? No. Okay. Then let's just leave it. And I know it'll come back up. I know it'll keep finding me. So I don't have to really worry about it not coming back up. And anytime that the list becomes too overwhelming, I'll write it all out. And definitely the 5 and 5 planner helps me to relieve that list every single day and helps me to check things off. But my brain spins wild, y'all. Wild. As always, you're smart. You're smart. You're strong. You're beautiful. What are you going to do? Change the world. Hey, I've enjoyed spending time with you, and I cannot thank you enough for making what I do possible. If you want to continue to support the show and therefore continue the development of everything that we're doing here with The Death of a Dream and the development of Local and all of the platforms that allow dreamers to do, you can go ahead and connect with us on socials at Local Shop Space and connect with me on socials at Hannah Nuss. And I would love to see you there. Go ahead and check out all of our websites and everything that we do here. I would love you to do all of that, to like, share, and comment on everything that we're doing. But bottom line, I just want you to do your dreams. And as long as you're going after the things that set your heart on fire, that's all that really matters. Change the world.